And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush. Susan Kochevar has left the building. And now we have Marie Chavez. How are you, Marie?
I am so excited that you are asking me to be on the show with you. I'm usually more behind the scenes, so this is so cool for me.
You are now out front.
Oh boy, they gave me a mic.
I know. Well, you do all our ads. You do so many ads. And like I said last Friday, every time my wife wants to sell me on doing something, she uses your voice.
I tell you how to spend your money well.
It's incredibly effective. I'm broke now. Well, in fact, I don't even have a future. I've spent so much because of her using your voice.
You spent that money with conservative businesses, Andy.
That's important. It's very important. Speaking of which, Kurt Rogers is here. Kurt, are you there?
I'm right here, guys. How are you?
Hi, Kurt.
Doing awesome. It is time for the Monday Mortgage Minute. Kurt, what do you have for us? What's happening in mortgages?
Well, over the last couple of days, and I think it's been announced a couple of times, we're starting to see rates go up. We knew they would. I do not think that they will stay there. But if you're out shopping rates today or Friday of last week, you're going to see a pretty sharp incline into them.
But how much?
I believe that they will quarter to 3/8 of a point.
Okay.
Which is pretty substantial because normally they haven't been moving that much. I think it's just a temporary thing. Continue to look. I just don't recommend locking the rates now. I believe that they will turn around and come back down.
Kurt, what do you think caused that jump?
Concern on the stock market changes the bond market.
Kurt, I have a question about somebody who's refinancing and is maybe in their 60s and 70s, and they're maybe concerned about, we want a lower rate, but we don't want a longer mortgage. We don't want to be locked in for longer. What do you say to them?
Actually, there's a lot of people doing that one. That's a great question. Because of what values are and your loan to value when you're refinancing it, you're going to be able to get a much lower rate and shorten the term and still lower your payment. So if you're like paying 3.5 and you've got 26 years left, you can go underneath 3 and go to 25-year loan and still lower your payment.
So my assumption is incorrect that because you refinance, you have to pay for more years.
No, you don't have to. You can customize the loan by year, not by months, but by year, 24 years, 27, 18. And we have people that will do that to fit a budget that they have, and then they're able to build their equity even faster.
So in that case, there
make a lot of sense.
It's like there's no downside to refinancing.
No. The main thing you got to look at when you're refinancing, in my opinion, is are you able to recoup any costs within the first 12 to 18 months? If so, and not extend your term, it's well worth the money.
Kurt, really quick here before we let you go, how long do you see these rates being up a tick? I know it's hard to predict. You can't predict it perfectly, but what's your guess?
Probably through the end of the year.
Oh, so you think were at their low and now they're going to be up and stay up at this level?
No, I think that they'll come back down again.
Okay.
But I think they're going to stay in this mid-2 range to low 3s throughout the year. There'll be times they'll go up and come back down. We got to remember, in 1940 and 1950, rates were 5%. So they've never been this low. So when you hear a rate of 3 or 3.125, people are going, well, that's way too much to pay. Well, let's put it into perspective. 3 to 3%, 3.125% is pretty cheap.
Right.
We're so used to seeing people advertise 1.99 or 2.25 that if we don't get that, we think we're paying too much. Well, those rates, I don't think, are going to stay there. They're going to stay in the 2s. But maybe not the low 2s.
Okay. All right. Do you see anything else happening this week?
No, it'll just be another beautiful week in Colorado.
We'll get
some cold weather, get some snow. It'll be just perfect for us.
Are you on Haystack tomorrow?
Yes, I am, and we're going to have a guy on there that's going to tell you why a lot of people are buying investment properties.
Okay.
It's a good time to do that.
And Haystack Help, that's on at noon tomorrow on Tuesdays, correct?
That is correct.
Fantastic. Well, until then, Kurt, if somebody wants to take advantage of these rates and just get a great loan, how do they reach you?
Call me at 720-895-0500, or they can go to my website at aimortgage.net.
All right, Kurt, thank you so much. We'll see you again.
Thanks for saving people money.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Take care, Kurt. And let's take a break here at Rush to Reason on KLZ 560 and listen to a little bit more of Kurt Rogers with Affordable Interest Mortgage. Welcome back to Rush Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate joined by Marie Chavez. And more importantly, Marie, we are now joined on the line by Toby from Wheatland, Wyoming. Toby, what's happening?
Oh, just the wind's blowing. But anyway.
The wind, by the way, before you go on, I just got to say this. There is wind, and then there is Wyoming wind. And they are not the same. I've driven up there, and I remember when I would go up I-25 and head, what is it, on 80, where you head west to the Tetons?
Yeah, you can take 80 over to Laramie. And up, well, if you want to go, you can go up I-25 over to up Casper, Shoshone, and over on up to the Tetons that way.
Yeah, I forget, anyway. I forget what I took over there. But all I got to say is this. I've never seen wind like that in my life.
I'm actually from Laramie originally, and my dad always tells the story that the wind gauge was a big chain on a pole, and when the chain was standing out straight, you knew it was windy.
You know, even today,
yeah, and chain.
Toby, you can't see, Toby, you can't see this on radio, but even today, all of Marie's hair is bent exactly in one direction.
Permanently wind blown.
Yes.
Well, tell her not to use Gorilla Glue on it.
Is this something you learned from experience?
No, this is this is a story. There was a lady, a school teacher, who used Gorilla Glue on her hair.
Oh.
That was a couple weeks ago.
Sounds like an intelligent decision.
Yeah, they had to shave her head.
They had to shave
her head.
And she sued Gorilla Glue. But, Toby, I don't want to talk about people like that. I want to talk about smart people like Toby. So, Toby, what's happening?
I was wondering. This morning we heard that they was laying off 480 people from the wind farms.
I heard 450. Are you talking in Windsor?
Well, they was laying them off or closing it down. They weren't going to manufacture the blades. But where's all these oil workers supposed to get their jobs now?
Well, that was a joke anyway.
They said no, because that's what they told the oil workers when they cut off XL pipeline. That they could go to work for the wind farms.
You know, Toby, first of all, I know you're saying that tongue-in-cheek because you know they weren't going to get their jobs.
No, I'm not.
They're not going to get their jobs.
That's what they said.
I know, but look, Toby, isn't that insulting toward oil workers? You know, people seem...
Yes, it is.
Yes, newsflash to everybody. Those roughnecks who are out there working those rigs, that's not some minimum wage job you do as you just, you know, got out of Votech school or came off the, you know, out of high school. Those are highly skilled jobs. Okay. Go ahead.
Son and his son, and I have nephews that work for the oil companies, hauling oil, working on the rigs and that, you know, and it's a dang shame.
It's an incredible shame. And Toby, really quick here, they work at those jobs for years. They're great at them. They're real jobs. They're not being super subsidized by tons of tax dollars. By the way, their only subsidies are writing off business expenses like any other businesses. This isn't like green energy where we cut them huge checks for nothing. Okay.
Yeah. And that's for sure. But
right. And here you've got these guys who are brilliant at what they do. And they were brilliant at what they do for all these years, being told, oh, we'll just get you other jobs.
Yeah, that's a slap in the face.
Yeah, yeah, that's a slap in the face of what they had done all this time.
Yeah.
Well,
now they're going to pay for it. Now they're going to pay for it.
Yeah,
I never thought I'd see communism come to this country. I never thought that.
Oh, it's here. It's here. And by the way, you're talking about, let's see, I think the American branch of Danish wind turbine maker. It's called Vestas Wind System. Okay. Yeah. They're consolidating their workforce in Windsor. So they're going to cut about 450 manufacturing jobs in places like Pueblo. All right. Basically.
Oh, well, I just wondered if their subsidies had cut back.
No, their subsidies are going to keep rolling on in there, Toby. Because why?
It's like a cylinder, huh?
Yeah, just like Solyndra, which was doing just great. It created no jobs. It created nothing. It wasted millions and millions of dollars, and now it's gone. But hey, man,
Right. Those
people who ran it sure gave a lot of donations to their Democrats and their candidates, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Well,
thank you for taking my call.
Toby, thank you so much, and you are so right. They are just killing jobs up there. Thank you. Did you hear about this?
I know this is the first time hearing, and I'm thinking if we can't use oil for energy and then now the wind farms aren't doing well, where are we getting our energy from?
We're not.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, it is, to me, one of the greatest disgraces of the left. You know, for so many years, there have been so many things about the left that have infuriated me. But in recent years, I think the thing that's angered me the most is what they've done with our energy policy. Hmm. We have something that, by the way, is pretty clean. Oil is green. Okay. And here's what I mean. Oil is turned around. You know what oil replaced? Wood burning. Yes, it replaced wood burning and coal. And so when oil came along, actually, it brought a tremendous drop in the per capita pollution that you're putting out. Now, there was still a fair amount of pollution. Why? It elevated so many lifestyles that so many people were using it.
Right.
Okay. But oil is actually green. Oil is what turned a lot of very poverty-stricken people around the world into either wealthy people or middle-income people. And it turned around their lives. And now you've got places like up in Windsor, you got these people who are still raking in the subsidies. I'm sure they are. Okay. And they're cutting jobs and now they get to pocket more. I'm not sure how that totally goes, but you know what? I'll bet Bill in Boulder knows. Bill, are you there? Yeah, I just saw you come up on the screen and I'm thinking, I know Bill has some thoughts on this. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I've actually got a little bit of, I never worked for Vestas, but I've interviewed with them before. I actually interviewed for a job in the Pueblo location.
Okay.
And I've been through there. So in Pueblo is where they actually manufacture their, so they're bending steel and welding it to make the towers down there. They're making the section of the towers. And it's heavy industry, Andy. It's like,
sure,
those welders are very, very good. Those guys are really accomplished. And so they're not low paying jobs. It's going to be a big impact to that economy in Pueblo, because it's kind of a, you know, there's not a whole lot else going on down there, unfortunately.
Well, Bill, think about the torque that that the wind is putting on one of those things when it's going across those huge blades, spinning them, and yep, you've got the tower that's holding them. That's got to be a welder's delight.
It's pretty insane, yeah, seeing the sections and how they actually make the tower sections. It's impressive. And then I've been through the Windsor plant as well, too, on a tour 5 years ago, and that was really pretty impressive as well. They are complex machines, and so it's definitely heavy industry. But I'm kind of an all-of-the-above kind of person. I think natural gas is really the way that we should be going, and it's the biggest reason that we've lowered our national carbon footprint so much over the past few years by retiring coal, and it's just a good way to go, so it's a shame that things like Xcel are being canceled, but coming back to wind just real quick, the reason that Vestas is doing this and laying these people off is because the subsidies are actually ending on that. There was something in wind, it's called the production tax credit, and the Xcels and the power industry, the power companies of the world, when they install the wind energy, they actually get a per kilowatt hour tax credit, and that ended actually in December of 2020.
Go ahead, Bill.
I was just going to say Vestas was really busy trying to get a bunch of orders out the door because a lot of the utilities were trying to get these projects implemented and installed before the end of that production tax credit so they could take advantage of that.
But Bill,
Solar has something similar, too. It's called the investment tax credit. It works a little differently, but they've both been sunset. And actually, the Trump administration kept it going for about 2 years. So a lot of people say, well, Trump is, green energy, et cetera. His administration actually kept that going for a couple of years.
But Bill, this can't possibly be. This can't possibly be. No, and you know where I'm going with this. We've been told for how many years by the greenies, by the AOCs and the other wackos, basically telling us this stuff is profitable. This stuff with no subsidies is going to make money. It's so valuable. You don't need subsidies. Never mind that you're forcing people to use it. Like a quarter of the grid in Texas. Okay, even though it puts out just a piddling of the energy per the money that you put into it. But okay, yeah. But they said that if they pull back those subsidies, my gosh, all you got to do is give it a start. Man, that's just going to be a moneymaker, and it's not happening, is it?
No, I mean, We have to keep in mind too that oil and gas and natural gas and coal, you know, the fossil energy industry is subsidized as well, but not nearly to the extent that the renewables have, especially particularly wind and solar, because they are such an expensive technology, especially when you're talking at the utility scale. And they're just not good baseload substitutes. You know, natural gas, nuclear is really what we should be doing. But natural gas, hydro, these are all good baseloads because they really are the backbone of our electric utility grid. Solar and wind kind of fill in the peaks. So that's not the answer. And when people think, well, let's just build more wind farms or solar installations, we can answer all the problems. And you guys have talked about this before. I know John has talked about it before. There's not enough square acreage in the country to meet all of the demand, you know. So it's a complex issue, and it's unfortunate that, you know, these folks are losing their jobs. And, you know, to Toby's point, I actually texted this to John last week, too, you know, when I learned about these jobs going away, because John Kerry said, well, yeah, they can just go get jobs in the renewable energy industry. Well, maybe if they're willing to relocate to China, because honestly, that's where most of those jobs are going to be, because
right.
the cost of labor is so much cheaper, you know?
Well,
and with these tax credits ending, you know, the incentive for the utilities to rely on this source of energy is removed.
Well, yeah, and so, Bill, and also you mentioned that oil and gas and fossil fuels are subsidized. Yeah, but virtually all the subsidies they get are for write-offs of upfront costs, which, by the way, are immense.
Right, and they're much
And you can
lower.
Do that with any business, but if you look at the subsidies
right.
that go in versus the megawatt energy that's put
right.
out, I think it was in about 2011 they ran the numbers, and it was like, and by the way, this is including horrible wasters like ethanol, so this is a little overly harsh,
mm-hmm.
all right?
Mm-hmm.
But green energy was putting out about 1/80th the energy
yeah.
for the same amount of tax dollars that fossil fuels
mm-hmm.
were. Okay.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. You can say, oh, fossil fuels, they get their subsidies too. But I know you're not saying that. But the green energy
right.
people do. Hey, folks, look at bang for the buck.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Well, you know, and here's it. And absolutely. And real quick, as an aside, a friend of mine used to work oil and gas. And he was working, I think it was an oil rig up in Wyoming. And a supply truck, you know, big 18-wheeler, was coming on site. And along the way somewhere, it had run into a bird, and it was stuck in the grill. And when it rolled onto the property, you know, of course, the bird fell off of the grill and landed on the well site. This is no joke. I know this guy over 20 years, so I take his word, you know, as gospel. He said they had to shut the entire production site down until somebody from, I think it was the BLM, Bureau of Land Management, came out to make sure that was not an endangered species, even though the bird wasn't killed there as a result of the activities. You know, it happened somewhere out on I-80 probably. That's how stringent the environmental regulations are as they pertain to oil and gas production on public lands in this country.
But don't the windmills
free for all out there?
I've heard that the windmills, birds run into them all the time and die. I'm confused, right? Don't birds die all the time from those windmills?
They used to. There was actually a lot of issues with, especially with like birds of prey.
Oh.
But I know somebody who used to work for a company who built utility scale wind and solar farms. And part of the siting process now is to make sure that they're not in migratory bird paths. So in the years past, yeah, they did. They were kind of an issue, but it's definitely less of an issue now. Solar is really bad. With that too, especially some of these things called heliostats, where they're basically these mirrors that surround a central column, and they focus all their heat energy onto that column, and that heats up a brine solution that in turn spins a turbine, you know, or heats up steam to spin a turbine to generate electricity. Those things are—it's the air is superheated over those sites, and any bird that flies through there is like flying through a microwave. They're just incinerated as they go through there, and there's really no way you can control that. So,
and meanwhile, all we would have to do, Bill, is frack and poke holes in the ground and pull out energy.
Yep. Yep. Well, and you know, what good does shutting down Keystone XL do?
None.
You know, because all they're going to do, the people that are marketing that product up in Canada, they're just going to go look for another customer. And most likely that customer will be, you know, in a country that doesn't refine this this product as environmentally friendly as we do here. So the global impact on shutting down Keystone XL would be much bigger than if they had left it alone and just let that stuff be refined in the Gulfport refineries.
Also,
so it makes no sense when you look at it from the big picture.
Also, yeah. And
it's virtue signaling.
Yeah. And also, yeah. Bill, on top of that, a pipeline is the most environmentally friendly way to move the stuff.
It is. It is. I mean, there was some initial concern about, Keystone going over the Ogallala Aquifer, which
right.
is a shallow aquifer, But it's much more safe than, trucking it or running it on a rail car, because those things derail. You have trucks get blown over by the wind, for Pete's sake. So, running it through a pipeline is much more energy sensitive and environmentally friendly. But, hey, let's just shut it down because it sounds like it's a bad thing.
Oh, yeah. It's evil, so shut it down. All right, Bill, thanks so much, man.
Yeah. Take care, Andy.
Call again. Take care. All right. Next up is Purefoy Chevrolet. If you're looking to buy a new or used vehicle, they got you covered with a full lot of great cars at a place where you are treated like family. Check out the gorgeous 2021s at purefoychevrolet.com or give Purefoy a call at 303-659-8311. Purefoy Chevrolet, find new roads.
Hi, this is Marie with KLZ, and I just want to say on a personal note how impressed I am with Purefoy Chevrolet. Something we pride ourselves on at KLZ is we never advertise somebody without meeting them face to face and really feeling confident that they will take good care of our listeners. And I've never been in an auto dealer like Purefoy Chevrolet, and the reason is Rolly Purefoy. I know he would never say this about himself because he's a very humble man, but he holds himself personally to such an incredibly high standard that his example permeates the entire business. He was walking us through the building and there were these really nice clean ceiling tiles above my head, and he made some comment about how he had installed them himself. And the same with his stunning showroom has a new floor that he personally installed. And I think when you have a leader who cares about those details, it affects the entire atmosphere of the business.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Al Smith protects your nest egg from the high cost of long-term health care. Once you retire, you have one concern: making your money last. Founder of Golden Eagle Financial, KLZ's retirement planning specialist Al Smith has worked in financial services for over three decades, specializing in retirement planning for the past 16 years. After all those years helping people manage their money, Al has spent a lot of time listening to his clients' concerns about retirement. Al has personally seen friends and relatives burn through their nest eggs in a matter of months, spending thousands of dollars a month on hourly health care, either at home or in assisted living. As part of your retirement plan with Golden Eagle Financial, Al will help you find alternative financial products with significant benefits in retirement, ensuring your nest egg can withstand the high cost of long-term health care. Schedule a free consultation with Al Smith now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Before you can run your business more efficiently, you must learn to manage your own time. As the business owner, you cannot allow yourself to get bogged down by menial tasks. Your time is too valuable. You need to stay focused on the big picture. Otherwise, you'll be exhausted and frustrated. You won't have time for your family, and your company won't grow. John Rush will show you how to delegate for the sake of your sanity and your bottom line. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush, and next to me is the great Marie Chavez.
Thanks for having me, Andy.
It's good to have you here. And Marie, really quick here, I want to spend a few minutes talking about the conservative economy. And here's what I mean by this. Right now, conservatives across this company are watching business after business after business after business line up and offend them. Okay. There was an article that just came out, 200 companies who are attacking the Second Amendment.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really crushing. And so what a lot of people are doing now, and conservatives have been reluctant to do this, but they're starting to buy from conservative businesses. They're starting to target it. Why? Because they don't want to. Conservatives are of the mindset that, hey, man, I'm a capitalist. I just want to give my money to whoever gives me the best bang for the buck. That's it. And reward whoever gives me the most up front. But The result of that is they've been seeing a lot of these people get rich and then use the money against them, mm-hmm. against their liberties, against their freedoms, and quite frankly, to offend them. Am I right?
It's pretty accurate.
Yeah. And so what we're starting to see is a conservative economy. We're starting to see that we're seeing it in big tech. You know, conservatives are starting to create their own tech companies and starting to create their own platforms and pages. And we're also seeing it with a lot of businesses. I have never seen so many conservatives basically ask this question: where can I spend my money and not have it go to a kook who wants all my freedom stripped away?
It's so interesting that conservatives have been reluctant to do this until now. What you just said about capitalism, that we want to give our money to the person who's going to give us the best business, that's just such a good perspective. It seems like a shame that we're being penalized for it.
Yes. Well, you see, and here, if I may, I think they're missing it with the bang for the buck. Because part of the bang for your buck isn't just the product you get for the money, folks. Part of the bang for the buck is, what does your buck do?
Right.
Okay. And so when I give my buck to this company to give it to Starbucks or whatever, and I'm not saying never go to a Starbucks. I'm not one of these hard boycott people. I'm a soft boycott person. I say, move your spending when you can reasonably to options that will uphold your values. Bang for the buck should be product and what they're going to do with your money. It should be a combination thereof. What do you think?
So I am noticing that the word conservative is getting more and more of a bad rap. So I'm going to ask you this, but I have an answer too. What conservatism means to me is personal responsibility. The U.S. Constitution introduced this revolutionary, literally, idea that the average person could control their own choices and make good ones.
Right.
And that has this, it's this philosophy of a basic value of human life and a basic respect for your ability to decide what you do with your life.
Right.
And to me, a business that is run by that philosophy is going to be a better business. Treat their customers better, offer a better product, probably have better prices because they're fiscally responsible. So I'll throw that back to you. A conservative business, what does that mean to you?
Well, first of all, what does a conservative mean to me? It's very simple, and I've always said this. I want to control my own life, not yours.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a liberal, I want to control your life, not mine. I don't care about self-control. I care about you control. Okay. Bill Gates, liberal, wakes up every day and doesn't just want to use his vast wealth to make other people's lives better or maybe even enrich his own. He wants to control other people's lives.
Hmm.
Okay. At every level. And so to me, a conservative business is a business run by people who want to serve you, not control you.
So let me give an example here. One of our sponsors is Franktown Firearms, and they sell guns.
Great people.
They have a firing range, and they give classes. Their number one goal, this is kind of what makes them unique, their number one goal is to empower someone who has never shot a gun before to use it wisely and responsibly. So they don't want to just sell you a gun. That's not their goal. Their goal is, are you going to use it safely? Do you know how to use it? Are you confident using it? Are you going to hurt someone with it accidentally? Their goal is to empower you to make better choices. And that's what a conservative business is, and that's where I want to give my money.
Exactly. And by the way, once again, I'm talking about this conservative economy. This is a new line of thought for us. I don't think conservatives have thought this way, and the results have been catastrophic. Am I right?
I mean,
look what these liberal titans are doing with our money.
Yep.
Am I right?
It seems that way to me.
Yeah. Okay. Give me another vendor, because one thing I like about our vendors here is they're all liberty oriented.
They are. I was actually going through a list of our sponsors today, and as far as I can tell, every single one of them is a patriot who loves this country.
They are.
And that's something pretty unique. I don't know of a lot of organizations that have sponsors that all love America.
Yeah, and I'm not even saying that we require it here. They just gravitate toward John Rush. I mean, why wouldn't they?
Exactly.
Right.
Because he genuinely loves America.
Right.
And to me, that's what a conservative is someone who loves America and what it stands for. So another example would be American National Insurance. Speaking of fiscal responsibility and personal responsibility, yet Paul actually rewards customers who don't make claims. And John was just telling me the other day he got a check in the mail for a couple $1,000s because he hasn't made a claim in a while. That is somebody who is empowering other people to make good decisions and rewarding them for it.
Yeah, which is very conservative.
Yes, it is.
And by the way, once again, none of these people want to change our climate.
They want to protect our climate.
They don't want to reflect back the sun. They don't. You know what I mean? What I'm talking about is they're not kooks who want to tell you how to live your life. I'm not asking for people to agree with all of my beliefs in life, okay? I'm asking for people to not be kooks who want to control my life. I don't think that's asking a lot.
It's not. And it's interesting. Conservatives have this bad rap of not caring about animals or the environment.
But oh, come on.
You talk about someone like Barber's Foods, who's responsibly, you know, creating food.
And no. Wait a minute, though. They're conservatives, so they must just be a hack it up shop who doesn't care about anything but profits. They sit in the back with a cigar and just rake it in and cause damage anywhere they can.
They actually know the families that raise the animals that produce the meat that are humanely raised. I mean, that's like as liberal as you can get, you would think, but no, they're conservatives. They care about animals and the environment.
Yes, they're good stewards.
I mean, even somebody like Ascent Health Center with Dr. Julie, why does she care about people getting healthy? It is because we are capable of taking care of our God-given bodies that were given to us as a gift, and we can choose to use them well or poorly. And that's what motivates her.
Yes, and she doesn't make me chant and go om.
She's not going to tell you you have an angry chakra.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, but this is what we're going to be seeing more. And, you know, we're talking a little bit about our vendors here, but it's toward a purpose. Okay. I mean, it's not so people will spend more at them. They're already going to hear all their ads on our show, and that's great. Right now, I'm talking about the conservative economy. Folks, you are coming into a time right now where you have to start making your money work for more than just you. It's got to work for your movement. It's got to work for your beliefs. Because if you don't do it, people are going to undermine those things. Am I right?
I mean, what do you care about? Because to me, the reason I like working here and the reason I want to work with these people is because I really believe that the Constitution is, other than the Bible, the greatest document ever written.
I would agree. I would absolutely agree. And it seems to be being set aside more and more and more and more. You know, you wouldn't believe how many of these companies that are telling you that are attacking gun rights right now. It was shocking. Once again, it was kind of interesting. Uber, Lyft, AMC Theaters.
Hmm.
Yeah, yeah. More of the driver ones. Uber Eats, of course. What's that one? Not Grubhub. Grubhub was the only one that isn't trying to. So there you go, guys. Grubhub, they're not trying to take away gun rights. DoorDash is another one that's attacking gun rights.
Interesting.
Yeah, which I thought was interesting. But give me one more example. Can you give me one more example of one of ours and what they do with your money when it goes in for you and also for the movement?
Well, I would say Michael Bailey is the obvious example because he's helping you protect the people that you love. He's leaving a legacy of fiscal and personal responsibility, and that is very conservative.
Absolutely. He's a wonderful guy. Okay, let's go to break. When we come back, Jersey Joe's going to be on the line. We'll be right back here on Rush to Reason at KLZ 560.
The most frustrating part of getting your vehicle repaired is not knowing what they're charging you for. The team at Extreme Auto Repair has nothing to hide. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker want you to understand what's going on with your vehicle so you know how to prioritize your spending. They'll always be transparent because you're the one spending money. You need to know what's wrong so you can focus on the most important repairs first. Just ask, and they'll be more than happy to take you back to the service bay, open up the hood to show you what's going on, or hand you the part that's not functioning. Their philosophy is, why hide it? You might not know what to look for on your own, and the bill makes a lot more sense when you can actually see the part. Plus, you'll feel better knowing that they're not charging you for services you don't need. Take a look together. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promise is kept.
All right, Flesh and Beck Law. With today's complex legal system, every case, even a small one, is like a journey. You got to keep track of all these documents from the insurance company, that doctor, this police report. It's overwhelming. Folks, you need someone to hold your hand. And Kevin Flesh's team makes all that seem easy. Call Flesh and Beck at 303-806-8886 or go to fleshlawfirm.com. Trial tested, trial ready. Flesh and Beck.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, has a unique background that makes him a more effective advocate for you. He handles both criminal and civil cases. Most attorneys only do one or the other, but Kevin has almost 25 years of experience on both sides, which means he has more practice in the courtroom. Most personal injury attorneys will say they have experience in court, but since only about 10% of personal injury cases actually go to trial, those attorneys only appear in court once or twice a year. Because Kevin also takes criminal cases, he appears in court constantly. Kevin has a rare ability to present an argument that only comes from years of experience learning how to read a courtroom. KLZ's personal injury attorney continues to practice both civil and criminal defense because he believes the courtroom keeps him nimble. Trial tested, trial ready. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886.
As modern vehicles become safer and more technologically complex, collision repairs also become more specialized. You need an auto body shop that looks to the future, investing in the tools and training they need to fix your vehicle properly. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop have earned OE certifications for brand names like Subaru, Ford, and many others, ensuring you get the parts and service recommended by your vehicle's manufacturer. After a collision, you want to get your vehicle back to pre-loss condition, which means you want the original parts from the manufacturer, not aftermarket parts. Al and his team at A Good Shop continue to earn new OE certifications all the time, so they can have access to all of the databases and software that come directly from the manufacturer. Your insurance company does not recommend auto body shops based on their certifications. Take control of the quality by choosing a certified auto body shop. Schedule an estimate with A Good Shop now at klzradio.com/collision.
Networks change, benefits change, prescription plans change, and premium costs go up. So you want an independent broker who will compare plans from many different insurance companies, hunting for the right coverage at the best price for you. Group Insurance Analysts, 303-423-0162.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in with Marie Chavez. And on the line right now, Jersey Joe. Joe, how you doing?
Andy, I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How you doing? Right. Yeah.
I'm doing good.
What's happening, Joe?
Hey, I want to talk about, I heard your previous guest talk about wind and birds and solar. And I want to talk about solar panels and the detrimental effect they're having on the environment. But before I do that, a real quick one. You know, I've got a list of about 12 things that liberals hate. You know, Trump, you know, but one of the things they hate is Walmart. They hate Walmart. And the standard liberal myth is that Walmart only pays either $11 or the state-mandated minimum, whichever is higher, and they only hire part-time people so they don't have to pay benefits like, you know, 401k and medical. And did I copy you on that picture of the Help Wanted board I took the other day in New Jersey?
You did. How much are they paying?
I'm going to read right from the ad. This was in the lobby of the Walmart in Flemington, New Jersey. Now hiring full-time positions at $16 to $17.50 per hour, evenings and overnight stocking shelves. Now, you don't need a lot of experience or a bachelor's degree to stock shelves. Last time I looked, $17.50 an hour full-time is $35,000 a year. You can do that with a high school education. We don't need free college. We don't need a degree in gender studies to make $35,000 a year. You can do that stocking shelves in Walmart.
Yeah, but with that degree in gender studies, you're going to get that $35,000 a year and be more caring. You're going to love people. You're going to dance through meadows to meet every person you meet and give them big hugs.
Oh, my goodness. Marie, you don't know this, but I lived in Denver for many – I only left a few months ago. I used to go to the Starbucks on Arapahoe and Peoria. And one day, you know, I got to know the people fairly well, and one day I asked one of the people I knew very well, I said, by the way, do you mind if I ask how many people working here have college degrees? Marie, do you know how many people, there were 16 total people worked there in the various shifts. Do you know how many of those 16 people had a college degree?
I would guess a lot of them.
try 13 out of 16.
I was going to say, I worked at Starbucks for a few months, and almost everyone I worked with was a college graduate.
Joe, here's the question. Those 13, were they more valuable and better at their job than the other three?
Hell no.
There you go.
Hell no. All right.
And I'm pretty sure they're not making as much money as at Walmart from what it sounds like based on what you're saying.
Yep. And by the way, the minimum wage in New Jersey is $12 an hour. So of these positions, $16 to $17.50, Walmart is starting people between $4 and $5.50 above the state-mandated minimum wage of $12. So, and by the way, something else, less than 3% of the people in this country actually work for minimum wage, and a great deal of those that do are worked in tip positions such as waiters and waitresses, where tips can easily equal 3 to 4 times the hourly wage. You know, I know people like work in like Shanahan's restaurant. The paycheck is secondary to what they make in tip. I mean, if you're waiting a four top where the average bill is $110 a person, that's a $440 check. At a $20 tip, you know, that's an $88 tip. Now, yes, you got to, you know, share some of that with the busboy and whatnot, but and if you're doing three tables, you know, you're making $300 an hour.
Joe, when I was managing casinos, we had a thing called the Gold Bar, and it was at this one of our three casino properties. And the girl who worked nights there as the bartender, she was very popular, had the outgoing personality, ran the place, right? She was probably pulling down well over 100 a year.
Wow.
Okay, because her tips were enormous. Yep. Go ahead.
And I asked one of the cocktail waitresses that over at Ameristar I got to know. I said, how much do you make? She says, on a Friday or Saturday night, she'll say, I'll make $300, $350 on a Saturday night. That's after she pays off the, what they call them, the back bar, or the bar back, whatever it is.
Bar back.
You know, that's after bar back. She said, I'll clear $300, $350 on a Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah.
So, you know, two nights. Making $602 nights.
Yeah, minimum wage, jacking that up nationwide is done for one reason, to depress the economies of the red states, because most of the red states have a much lower standard of living, not standard, cost, a much lower cost of living. And they are the places where you're going to be jacking up what people are paid, which is just going to jack up inflation and turn them into blue type states.
It will. So, but hey, but we're running out of time, so I want to shift gears real quick. The article I sent you this morning, which I know you read, Marie, you probably haven't seen it, but there's a study that says when you put solar farms in desert areas, you actually contribute to global warming. And the reason being, a solar panel only converts about 15% of the energy in sunlight to electricity. Now, solar panels. Let me ask you a question. What color is a solar panel?
Black.
Black.
Or dark blue, yeah.
Yeah, dark. So the rest of that energy from the sunlight is converted to heat, and those panels radiate that heat back into the surrounding atmosphere. I mean, as you get close to a solar panel, I've been close to it, you can feel the heat. Just, you know, you can actually see it with the air, the distortion in the air. You can actually see the heat coming off those solar panels. When sunlight hits sand in a desert, sand is very light, the vast majority of that energy is reflected right back into outer space, and it does not heat the surrounding air the way a solar panel does.
Right, you're not heating the surface of the earth there.
Not heating
to that degree.
A little.
Right.
Not to the degree that a solar panel does, because in a solar panel, 15% gets converted to electricity. The vast majority, the other 85%, heats the air in the immediate. So the whole green thing is, well, yeah, solar panels, we don't burn fossil fuels, it'll reduce global warming. No, law of unintended consequences, solar panels will increase global warming by heating the air instead of letting that sun be reflected back into outer space. So, greenies and liberals haven't thought this out, and they're actually doing more harm than good. Remember Charlie Brown? There's never been more harm done than people thought they were doing the right thing.
But Joe, how could they miss that? I mean, for crying out loud, this is a real easy one to tell young people. Hey, young people, here's what I challenge you to do. I want you all to get cans of spray paint, black spray paint, and spray the entire Sahara Desert black. And tell me how hot it's going to get.
You know, that, you know, you can just visualize it. I mean, it would be unbearable.
I mean, I'm pretty persuaded by the mental image of birds getting incinerated. So I feel like we could just use that in some ads.
And I don't,
I'm hungry.
That one in Nevada, the Tonopah plant that was funded with, I forget how many hundreds of millions of government guaranteed loans. You know, it went bankrupt a few months ago, right?
Yeah.
It shut down. It wasn't working. They've had one mechanical issue after another, and they finally just shut it down and declared bankruptcy. So there goes several hundred more. Just like Solyndra, which was $500 million of taxpayer money. Now the Tonopah solar plant has been shut down to never operate again. Several thousand birds.
Right.
Several thousand birds and how many hundreds of millions of taxpayer money. Another epic failure.
You know, the thing that I didn't know, I mean, it made sense to me that, you know, the more black you have out there, obviously, the more you're going to heat up the planet by absorbing the light that's coming in. What I didn't know was the 15%. That's what shocked me. I thought they were capturing, you know, 80, 85% of the heat they were generating for energy. 15%? Why is it so low?
That's actually up. It used to be 7 or 8%, Andy. They've only gotten to 15% here in the last few years. And again, as an engineer, I've researched this. Some might be pushing 17%, but the typical solar panel you see going on the roof of a house, sunlight's about 100 watts per square foot. Typical solar panel generates 15 watts per square foot. So it's about 15% efficient. The vast majority is converted to heat energy. If you doubt that, take a white spaghetti pot and put it out on your lawn and take a black frying pan and put it in your lawn. Leave it there for 30 minutes in the sun, then go touch one, then go touch the other, see which one's hotter.
Okay, you got about a minute left at the most. I want you to tell me, how has this worked for Europe, going to basically Green New Deal stuff? Because that's the direction that AOC and company want to take us. How's that worked over there?
Cost of electricity, Marie, do you know what the average price of electricity is around the United States?
I do not.
It's about 11 cents a kilowatt hour, and a kilowatt hour is 1,000 watts, so it's if you want to burn 10 100-watt light bulbs for an hour, it costs you 11 cents.
Okay.
In Germany, it's 33 cents a kilowatt hour.
Three times.
So if the average American family has a $150 a month electric bill, what's the economic impact on that middle-class family? And 150 a month times 12 is what?
1,800.
Hey, what happens if 1,800 becomes almost 6,000? Hmm. What does that do to the average American family if they see their 1,800 bill go to $6,000 a year?
Doesn't matter, Joe, because we're going to feel good. We're going to love each other. We're going to dance with each other and hug in meadows. I keep telling you this.
All right.
Take care, Joe.
All right. Bye, guys.
You bet. See you later. Okay, folks, that is going to do it for today. If you missed the first hour, it's up next. Marie Chavez, thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Andy.
You bet. We'll see you again on Wednesday. You're going to join me the whole show. Until then, drive safe. God bless. And thanks for joining us at Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.